Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The fully posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 249 of the Fully Opposable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, what's going on, man?
Well, Jeff, it's another beautiful day in paradise. I have Sourheads Bang, one of your favorites, running through me, powering me through this next hour or so of wrestling figure talk and other stuff. You know how we do it. Energy drinks, G.I. Joe, whatnot. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, perhaps. But yeah, it's a great day, and I'm looking forward to a solid show. I had a lot of fun recording last week with you, and I look forward to another solid show with you this week.
Did you say Sourhead Bang was one of my favorite?
Yes. Yes. Being completely sarcastic if you didn't pick up on that.
No. Okay. That hovers around Radical Skedaddle for me. By the way, Bane said that Radical Skedaddle tasted like soap.
I thought that was his favorite, or one of.
Okay, so you guys have heard it on the show of Breaker and Bane, but Bane did have COVID and it did mess with his taste buds.
So messed up taste bud Bane said that Radical Skedaddle tasted like soap.
Correct, correct.
Gotcha, okay. Well, I can't hold that against him. We'll blame COVID for that among what, a million other things that it's done this year. But now it's ruined one of Bane's favorite Bang flavors, and that's unacceptable. Screw you, 2020.
Well, Bane said that when he took his first sip from it after having COVID, he's like, oh, it tastes like soap. Uh-oh, Jeff was right.
So you were on the right path with cleaning products then, because I think you said Windex.
Correct.
Wow, but you didn't have COVID tongue.
No, I didn't.
Gotcha. I wonder if once everything clears up for Bane, he'll get back to thinking it's one of his favorites, or maybe it's ruined forever.
Well, hopefully it's ruined forever for him. You know, that stuff is disgusting, dude.
Okay, so if you had to rank them, because this is also an energy drink podcast, what are your three least favorite Bang flavors?
Sourhead.
That's in your bottom three?
It is.
You son of a...
Radical Skedaddle and
root beer.
Well, I never tried root beer, so I can't throw that in there because I never tried it.
Oh, bless your heart. Don't do it.
I'm going to go, the ones I have tried, I'm going to go birthday cake.
Okay. I would agree with you on that. Birthday cake was not great. Not great. It wasn't one of my favorites. That's one of those, like, I can normally finish a can, but birthday cake, I'm like, ugh. We'll get through about a quarter to half of the can. I'm like, I'm good. No more of that. No more of that. But Jeff, you know what? Enough about energy drinks. I think we got some figures to talk about.
We do. We do. We've got a lot of figures to talk about this show. We have news. We've got listener. And we also are going to play Points of Articulation yet again because, one, it got a good response. And two, I actually enjoyed doing that with you last week. So we're going to play it again.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You came up with that segment. I loved the idea. I thought it was great. And I'm glad I got a positive feedback from the listeners, too. As you guys know, we really tailor this show to what you guys want to hear. You wanted to hear other figure lines. We're doing that. You wanted us to tone back the dirty a little bit. We're doing that. And we're going to carry forward with segments that you guys love. And Points of Articulation is back this week. Jeff, good call on that segment. Well done, my friend.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to get any of our t-shirts, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. Also, have you checked out fullyposablepodcast.com? Well, you should. There are links to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. There are articles up. There are old shows. There are new shows. So go over to fullyposablepodcast.com and check out the site. It's very entertaining. You get lost for a few. Corey Uman's next writings will be up here shortly, so keep an eye out for that. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Opposable, Instagram, Fully Opposable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts all the way back to episode 1 on Podbean. Just search Fully Opposable. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes, Scott. Like this week, it comes in from Manny McCool. Says, Attitude Sells. Gave a sweet 5 stars. He said, I want to give it up to the OG of WFP, the Toon Brothers. They are the first figure podcast I listened to and got tangled in through IG with their first Macho Madness fig bracket. They are also one of the first that started making wrestling pins with the Macho Man with Pollyanna. Still think it's one of the best wrestling pins ever made. I have to agree that the whole backing of it and everything, that just came off great.
Oh, it's badass, and it speaks volumes about the quality of Pollyanna's work.
I also wanted to say that I loved it when you guys' podcast came into the Attitude Era. It seemed like you guys were evolving and changing for the good with the times. You guys seem more natural and ease. I liked it because that's how I am with my friends about wrestling or anything. The Manscaped ads you guys did, I thought were so cool that I actually bought one from them because of you guys. But this last week's ad fell flat. Like you didn't finish reading the ad or something and really wouldn't have convinced me to buy anything. But that's neither here nor there. I love you guys. The podcast, the fig life you guys have created, and always keeping it positive. Even though I do listen to other figure podcasts, you guys are the one I will always listen to first and always. Keep up the gnarly work. Fig life out. Thank you, Manny. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much, Manny. We do appreciate the kind words. And to your point about Manscaped, we did get some complaints that it was, as I talked about earlier, we kind of scaled back the dirty a little bit. That was one of the things that we kind of dropped back. We're still plugging Manscaped, of course, but maybe talking a little less ball fro.
You know, guys do have ball fro. I mean, that is a thing.
Well, and that's why you go to manscaped.com, use code WFP20 at checkout, save yourself 20% and get free shipping.
Manny, thank you again for the review. Thank you for leaving it. Thank you for the 5 stars. If you would like to send in any audio questions, or anything else at all, send it on over to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, Foco.
Jeff.
Yes.
Do you want to prove you're the undisputed world heavyweight champion of WWE fandom? Of course you do, and Foco.com is here to help. With Foco's WWE bobbleheads, you can play the game with Triple H, let in the fiend Bray Wyatt, and break some glass with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Foco's line of WWE bobbleheads includes all your favorite superstars and legends from then, now, and forever, including The Undertaker, The Rock, Edge, John Cena, AJ Styles, Ronda Rousey, Andre the Giant, and more. These bobbleheads from Foco are handcrafted and hand-painted to depict the biggest names in sports entertainment, making them must-haves for fans and collectors alike. Don't miss out on these awesome collectibles. Head to Foco.com now. That's Foco.com. FOCO.com, where at checkout you can use code WFP10. Save yourself a sweet 10%.
Go get that Undertaker bobblehead. That thing is so sweet.
It is. And these things sell out. These things disappear. So if you want it, go get it before it disappears. Because if it disappears, I don't know if it's coming back. So add it to your collection if you're tempted.
As of right now, none of them come back.
Oh, well, there you go.
That Hogan sold out so quick. And dude, it's never been put back up.
There you go. That's reason enough. If it's gone, it's gone. So if it's up, go get it while you can. And don't forget code WFP10. Save yourself 10%.
Baby, come back.
Keep going.
I was a fool. Wait, was it? I was a fool what?
No, just keep going. Just make up words. When in doubt, go Family Guy. Well done.
Thank you. Scott, did you do any toy spotting?
No, not really. I did get in my Profit Director Destro, or as some nasties might call him, Pimp Destro. Got him in sweet figure.
Which is correct.
What's correct?
That is, he's pimped out Destro.
You nasty. Got him in, and we also, you and I, Jeff, got a sweet deal through Tim at a chair shot on Twitter, the ring cart, Andre and Macho Man, those have been pre-ordered. And we've got some coming in. Tim's got some coming in. We got a sweet deal on them. Nobody held up a truck or anything. It's not anything backdoor shady or anything like that. But we have some ring cart figures coming our way. I'm very excited about that. And while we're on the subject of Tim at a chair shot, a very, very happy birthday goes out to Tim. It's his birthday. If you're listening to this on Sunday when the show drops, his birthday's tomorrow. So go out of your way. Head over to Twitter. Hit up at a chair shot. Wish the man, Tim himself, a very, very happy birthday.
That's awesome, man. Happy birthday, Tim. Yeah, it was cool because he reached out and he was like, I could get a case through Entertainment Earth of the ring carts. And he was able to move all of them, including the ones that he sold off to us. We got our ring carts coming to us. So how cool is that, dude?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. And as we talked about, I'm only getting the Andre because I've got a few of those Macho Mans with that same look. So just Andre for me. All I need is one ring cart and I'm good. I'm not going to have two ring carts and have ring cart races in my room or anything. One ring cart just to ride down to the ring. Good to go. Probably will put Macho and Liz in it to begin with. But super excited to get that ring cart, Andre. Looking forward to it.
But it's Macho. You've got to have it, dude.
Yes, but then the budget comes in, see? And don't tell me just do it, because that's what you do with the Masters of the Universe figures every week, and I can't just do it. I can't. I do have a budget, you know.
Scott?
Okay, don't.
Scott?
Peer pressure, I hate it.
Just do it.
I knew you were going to do that, you son of a...
I'm surprised I still haven't gotten that text message from Shannon.
Oh no, she just curses your name every week. She like stomps down the stairs after listening. She also calls you a son of a...
Yeah, dudes, I can't wait to get those in. Over here, I didn't do much Toy Spotting either. I did actually go to three Targets this past Monday night, hoping to find the Elite Legends Series 8. Unfortunately, I did not find them. However, as I mentioned, Norm did find a few about a week ago, so he has them waiting for me to pick up. But I went to the three Targets, and one of them was showing a number of 23. Dude, I walked in and it was one Heenan, one Razor. I was like, okay, well, where's the other 21 figures?
Yeah, it was 21 Heenan sitting in the back in a box.
Ain't that the truth? Went to my Target over here in Alameda. They are still sitting on 10 out here. So I don't know if that thing's ever in a move, but they got to throw them on sale so we can at least clearance them out.
Well, you know, we thought they were going to do that with Target Tito. And that never happened. They were like, nope, you guys are going to pay $19.99 and one day he will disappear. And you know what? Target was right. I never saw him on clearance. I know some people did. I never saw him on clearance and he eventually disappeared. So,
but you know what's funny is when the COVID prices hit this past April, May, whatever it was, that where prices were just going through the roof, Target Tito was actually going for like $65.
Unbelievable. We could have bought that like in bulk. Back in the day, they were so plentiful. It became a running joke. That's why he's called Target Tito. Every time you went to Target, there was Tito.
Unfortunately, Cesaro with the Andre the Giant trophy was like that. Same with JYD. Those figures were peg warmers. Those are notorious ones. But I think Target Tito was the most notorious, the most famous.
Yeah, if there's a peg warmer Hall of Fame, Target Tito would definitely be one of the first names in. I'm really happy that you were able to get your Legends figures from Norm, dude, because those are starting to hit. And it's unbelievable. They just came out and people are already charging. I saw somebody had an Eddie and a Warrior. Now, I'm in a bunch of different Facebook groups. Wrestling figures, G.I. Joe, Masters of the Universe, Mask, all that. The wrestling groups that I'm in, somebody had a Warrior and an Eddie and they were selling the set for $100. Come on. After tax, that cost you maybe $45, $47 in the store. Even with shipping, you're looking at $67 total. I'll give you $20 on shipping and you're charging $100. Like, ridiculous. They haven't even really started hitting pegs in mass yet and people are already paying stupid prices. Mm-hmm. Calm down. Just calm down.
Seriously.
Hunt the figures. They'll show up. Don't pay inflated prices until you know for a fact that the figures are gone and no longer showing up to Target or Walmart, wherever the exclusive is. Stop paying inflated prices. Look, do what you want with your money, but you're not helping out everybody else in the community that's looking for these figures as well. So stop it. Stop paying inflated prices.
Check Doing the Favors website.
Yes. Put a call out to the Fig Life. Do what you need to, but do not pay $100 for two figures that just started hitting pegs. That's ridiculous.
By the way, did those figures sell?
Honestly, I see that and it disgusts me. I don't even read the comments. I keep scrolling. The only thing I'll do is look to see if somebody puts a little laughy face on it. And as long as one is there, I keep scrolling because it deserves all the laughy faces.
By the way, as a lot of people have heard lately, Scott's rooms have gotten hardwood, so the sound kind of echoes. So we do want to issue an apology. The sound hasn't been the best, but this week what we're doing is we're putting pillows over Scott's face. And that's going to help with the sound. So we do apologize.
Hey, just like when we were younger and you were trying to be an only child.
I think that was the other way around after I destroyed your Kiss figures.
Yeah.
Take that, Peter Chris, you jerk.
You didn't have to bring that up, dude. Bad childhood memories rearing their ugly head.
Now, did I actually grab Paul Stanley by the legs and destroy him over the kitchen table?
You did. No, it wasn't the kitchen table. It was a little side table. And you had already destroyed Paul Stanley. I don't know how you did it, but all of his parts were in pieces on the floor. So, like, he basically was jointed at, or articulated, I should say, at the shoulders. So you could pop his arms off. He was articulated at the hips, so you could pop his legs off and you could take his head off. Every single part of Paul Stanley was separated and he was all over the living room. And when I came in, you were holding Peter Chris by, I believe, one of his legs, and you bashed him on the table and you busted one of his legs at the knee joint. And so my Peter Chris to this day has a busted leg.
I'm such a jerk.
Oh, dude, you were back then. You still are today. Well, a little bit less today, though.
Well, actually, I was a jerk because I should have started with Peter Chris, then moved on to Paul.
Exactly. That should have been the order. you know what? Actually, you could have gone Gene after Peter Chris. I would have been okay with that. As long as I had Paul and Ace intact, I don't think I would have hated you until right now, this very moment.
And how much are those figures going for today?
I don't look because it's so sad. And you broke my heart.
It was funny, too, because you told me when I got my very first job, I was going to have to buy those for you. And when I got my first job, they were going for like $900. And I had just moved out of mom and dad's house. I was like, yeah, I ain't buying you those.
Yeah. And that was a very long time ago. We're talking like, what, 2002, 2003?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's been like 17 years and you still haven't made good on that. Like
when
3-year-old Jeff is still like laughing in the background.
One day, dude, one day. But I have to get hardwood in my house. So I can't do it right now, dude. I've got to get hardwood in my house. And then I'm going to have pillows placed over my face. Because that's how it works to keep the sound in, right?
Okay, so 2 weeks ago was when I was in what is going to be the media room.
Correct.
And the echo was off the hook. So I moved it back into the... Well, because there's no furniture in there yet. It's not done. But... Now I'm coming from the master bedroom, and is the sound still bad? Like, there's
no.
This is fully furnished in here now.
No.
Like, is the sound still echoey?
It's a little echoey, but it's not bad, dude. Like, you could tell the big difference. So basically, when you furnish a room, or if you have pillows or whatever it may be, the sound gets absorbed into whatever furniture you have. But when you put in hardwood, that it echoes just a little bit more, but it was a huge noticeable improvement when you went back into your bedroom last week.
Okay, cool. Well, I won't be moving into the media room until it's done to do all the recording. So hopefully we'll be good for the next few weeks.
Okay, cool. And then we put pillows over your face.
Yes.
Is that how it works? That's how the sound stays in.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need like a shield in front of you with padding on it or anything. Just pillows straight to the face.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. We get about 3 minutes of recording and then suddenly Scott's passed out. I don't know what his problem is.
Too much bang.
Yeah. Too much Jaeger.
Scott, we have a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
Oh, you gonna learn today.
Scott, why don't you talk about our buddies over at Manscaped?
Yes, we talked about them earlier. We'll talk about them again. If you want to save 20% off over at manscaped.com, load up your cart with all of their great products from their lawnmower to their weed whacker to their shears. Jeff and I both use them. We also wear their boxers, incredibly comfortable. They have different deodorants, all sorts of good stuff. You're probably going to have a winter coat going on downstairs. Get that stuff cleaned up, please. Head over to manscaped.com. At checkout, use code WFP20. Save 20% and get free shipping. Manscaped.com. Use code WFP20.
And when you use their products, you also get a good stretch in, because you usually have one leg up on the counter, and just to kind of trim up down there and get a good view to make sure you're getting everything.
When you said stretch, see, I thought you were talking bat wings.
No, not that one. Not that one.
Gotcha. Okay.
WFP20 over at Manscaped. Scott, what do you have for other toy lines?
For other toy lines, Jeff, Loyal Subjects announced a new line of figures, highly articulated, 5-inch scale, called Best, now this is all in caps now, AXN, Best AXN, which Best Action. It's a line of figures consisting of, and again, these are in a 5-inch scale, highly articulated, Angus Young from AC/DC, Slash from Guns N' Roses, Gene Simmons from Kiss, Napoleon Dynamite, Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, and Lightning from Big Trouble in Little China. Again, these are 5-inch scale, highly articulated, will come with accessories. For example, Gene Simmons will come with an extra set of hands, and his bass guitar, Angus, obviously, will come with a guitar, extra set of hands. Same as Slash. Really, really cool designs, as you would expect from Loyal Subjects. They do great work. You've seen their miniature WWF figures, or WWE figures. And here we go with Best AXN. They are continuing the great work, and go check them out, Best AXN, and it will continue. They are going to do Ace Frehley, that's been confirmed, so you can count on them doing all four guys in Kiss, and I guess chances are good they'll complete AC/DC and Guns N' Roses as well. I don't have confirmation, but I do know Ace Frehley will be in the next series, so looking forward to that. Those should start hitting pegs, if not now, then very, very soon, within the next couple weeks.
Best AVN. Those guys weren't in the AVNs.
Well, see, the AVN isn't until January, Jeff. And I don't know that you'd be able to find these figures at that event. I don't even know if they're going to have that event, to be honest with you. Never been, but one of these days would like to attend. Next up, Jeff, 3-0. They are making a 1/6 scale Snake Eyes. And if you're trying to picture what this would look like, think Sideshow Collectibles in terms of quality. Beautiful detail. Looks like it's highly articulated, comes with multiple accessories, and it's probably going to be cheaper than Sideshow, but this is one beautiful figure if you are a fan of G.I. Joe and or Snake Eyes. Keep an eye on 3-0 and their 1/6 scale Snake Eyes.
Who else has 3-0 done?
It looks like a lot of like mech, like robots and whatnot. They did an Ultraman, mm-hmm. and now they're doing the Snake Eyes. So if the movie does well, maybe they'll make more for it. I would assume there's going to be a Storm Shadow as well coming from the movie. I don't know that for certain, but if they're making Snake Eyes, logically that figure's going to do well, and you'll want to continue with at least a Storm Shadow to back it up. But we'll see. But I'm definitely going to keep an eye on the price point, because if it's right, that one might be coming home to me.
That Snake Eyes movie comes out next year?
Yeah, it comes out next year. It was supposed to be this year, but got pushed back.
Okay, gotcha.
Next up, Jeff, Super 7 has an exclusive Griff Tanner figure that's from Back to the Future on hoverboard packaging, and he's available at Amazon right now.
Ooh, I can't wait for the Danny Tanner one.
So that would be from Full House, not Back to the Future, but I don't hate that idea. I think a line of 3 3/4-inch Full House figures would be incredible.
Do you think that would actually sell? Oh, no, wait, they do have the show on Netflix.
Yes.
Although it just got canceled, so...
Full House has a massive following, dude. People love Full House.
That would be a toss-up. That would be a toss-up if they would sell.
I think that they absolutely would. Nostalgia is strong, dude, especially those 80s shows. Like, Alf, he still moves. Alf still sells. Don't knock Alf.
No, I loved Alf, dude. I agree.
I did, too. Next up, Sergeant Slaughter himself has confirmed that he will have 2 Action Force figures released in 2021. And he teased that he may have a Hasbro figure released as well. So that's definitely good news for next year. Sergeant Slaughter action figures hitting the pegs again.
He was doing, it was almost like an Instagram Live or a Facebook Live video. And it's on YouTube. You can find it.
Well, it looks like a signing, a virtual signing.
Yes, yes. Thank you. And he's sitting there and he says something about he was going somewhere and he goes, it's close to Hasbro. And he was kind of teasing that he might be getting a Hasbro figure.
Yep. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And rounding out other toy lines. Technically, I guess this might fall under your news, Jeff, but the Asylum Wrestling Store. We talked a couple weeks back how we got their wrestling buddies that are coming signed and limited to, I think it was 25 sets or something like that.
Yeah.
They are doing, because those are gone, they are doing a new set of Legion of Doom wrestling buddies up for sale now. Now, what's going to set these apart from the other ones, the ones that you and I purchased, these will not have the Ray spikes. And whereas the Legion of Doom set that you and I got, Jeff, were more like Road Warriors, think AWA, NWA.
Yep.
These are going to be WWF or WCW Nitro in blue. And they won't have the raised spikes. So they will be a little bit different. The set is available now for $230. And that will include an animal shirt and a Road Warriors / Legion of Doom print. You can also buy them separately, but $230 is the price with the shirt and the print. Asylum Wrestling Store, if you're interested, go hit them up.
Scott, over here, Super 7, jumping back to them, they showed off a new Andre the Giant. Now, it's Andre the Giant from Japan. Per the Super 7 website, it says Andre returns to the ring, known for his dropkicks, tombstone piledriver, and lightning speed. The monster Rusamov was more than a match for his competitors in Tokyo. Super 7 celebrates Andre the Giant early success and illustrates career with his second made-to-order ultimate action figure, standing at 8 inches tall and packaged in a deluxe slipcase style box. He comes packed with 3 swappable heads, multiple hands, a can of beer, and a soft goods satin robe and sash that he wore during the IWA World Series in 1971. The pre-order window for the 8-inch Andre the Giant Ultimate figure opens Tuesday, October 20th, so this past Tuesday, at preorder.super7.com and will close Friday, November 20th, 2020. As they said, there are 3 heads, one kind of like a, I don't even know if it was a smiling face or a grunting face. He's got another head that has a grin and just kind of a stoic face. Multiple hands and a can of beer, red satin robe, and a sash. So, Scott, Super 7 is doing another Andre the Giant.
Yeah, that's great news. I don't know how well the other one did. Obviously, it went for the pre-order, the one-month deal. I've seen it available at a couple other places that you can still get your pre-orders in for it. I hope it did well. Obviously, it did good enough to warrant a second Andre figure. So that's great. The more Andre figures, the better, especially a version like that from Japan. I love it. Great, great idea by Super 7 to go that route. I love that it comes with the can of beer. But Jeff, I just realized that I forgot to mention in my bit of news about other toy lines, Super 7, speaking of Super 7 again, did a new Ghost figure. And of course, that is coming home to Shannon. They did one based on Mummy Dust with special packaging. And they did one of those paper people that's like the cardboard and it's folded or foldable at certain points. When you unfold it, it's a full size figure. And that was one of the Papas. I don't remember which number. Shannon will kill me for that. But both of those were just posted to Super 7. They also did a Lemmy from Motorhead in their 3¾-inch scale. So if any of those interest you, head on over to Super 7 now. They have them available to order.
Did you say Spider Dust?
No, that would be Mummy Dust, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
That's yes, it. And his packaging is like a dollar bill, or it's like money, and then the figure is right in the center of the bill where the face would be. Pretty cool packaging. Leave it to Super 7 to do something super creative like that.
Are you sure it's not Ninja Dust?
What else do you have in the wrestling figure news, Jeff?
Urban Dictionary, thank you very much.
Would you like to go into what that is? That would
sure.
be a no. No, no.
Ninja Dust, I have it right here. The attack mechanism of one farting into their hand and gradually approaching the enemy to stick the invisible death gas in their face. Ninja dust.
I thought that was called a cup of cheese.
It's also known as ninja dust, according
it's
to...
also ninja dust. Okay.
Yep.
Not to be confused with crop dusting.
No, no. That's where you just let it go and you walk away.
Keep... Well, that's a total dad move, too. Right next to pull my finger, like, crop dusting is, like, number two. That's right there. No pun intended with number two, of course.
Scott, Expo Lucha was virtual this year. And Boss Fight Studio Legends of Lucha Libre reveals we're showing off myself and Eric Arana. We're showing off some figures, some little tidbits. Now, mind you, you can just go onto YouTube and watch the video. It's about 30 minutes. You can actually see the prototype of Conan, the prototype of Lady Maravilla. But here's little tidbits from it. At Boss Fight Showing at Expo Lucha, Conan Wave 2 was shown off, and he will have two variant masks that will come in the package. Lady Maravilla was also shown off. Eric also showed off the mini Mascaras line, and what that is masks that are on these little busts. So think of when you guys had to go collect those WWF figures that came in blind boxes, and it had Dusty, Kevin Nash, Goldust, a bunch of different guys, and you didn't know who you were getting in the blind box. Well, that's what these mini Mascaras line is, because they want people to kind of create this community to trade these masks. Each person will have a variant mask. Go onto the video and you can see who will have a mask.
You know what I equate these to, Jeff?
Which is?
And these are way cooler and way better detail, but kind of going back to our childhood, this is like when you'd go up to the gumball machine and they had the little football helmets in the plastic bubble and you'd put in your quarter and you'd turn the handle. You didn't know which one you were going to get.
Yep.
Now, these are way cooler, but same concept. You're creating a community now where you can actually trade those things, whereas back in the day, your parents are having to probably spend like $80 just in quarters just to get you all the football helmets. Now there's going to be a community where you can trade these things back and forth. You don't know which one you're going to get.
Absolutely. That's a great way of kind of tying it back to the 80s.
I like that there's a community involved around it too. I love that.
Also, Wave 2 of the Fanaticos series. Ultimo Dragon will be in his mid-90s look. Yes, Ultimo Dragon. I can't wait for that one.
Very cool.
Eric did mention that more Ultimo figures are planned. Vampiro, pre-makeup, long red braids. Black Taurus. Black Taurus is awesome looking. He's got this huge bull mask on. Very intimidating looking, but awesome looking, dude. And I talked to Eric about that. I was like, man, the amount of deco and detailing that's going to have to go into that.
Nice.
And last but certainly not least, Hijo del Perro. I hope I said that correctly, Scott.
You probably didn't, but it's okay.
Thank you. Thank you. So those are going to be part of the Fanatico series. Also, there was a little something that came out that somebody said Great Muta is getting an action figure. That is not true, confirmed by Boss Fight. That is not true. It's not the Great Muta. Now, during Expo Lucha, Kevin Kleinrock of Masked Republic did say that the Great Sasuke is signed with the Legends of Lucha Libre. Now, it just means he's signed. It doesn't mean he's getting a figure, but we can almost assume that it's going to lead to figures, but that's just us assuming that that's where it's going. But the Great Sasuke has signed, not the Great Muta.
Yeah, unfortunately, as much as we want that to be true about Muta, it is not. Unfortunately, Boss Fight has not signed Great Muta, but fantastic news that, while not confirmed, we can safely hope and assume that we will be getting a Great Sasuke figure soon, soonish.
And then you can have him take on Taka Michinoku from WWF Bone Crunch. Well, he was part of the Bone Crunchers, right?
That would be so cool. Yeah, I believe Taka's first figure was in the Slammers line, and those are the ones that had the little gimmick feature on them.
Right.
It had like a lever you move and like the leg kicks or the arm swings or whatever. I believe that was Taka's first figures. But yes, you can have an incredibly detailed, amazing looking figure, hopefully from Boss Fight, of Great Sasuke destroying your Taka Michinoku Slammers figure.
Moving on to WWE Mattel Championship Showdown. Now, we had talked about these figures before. They are basics. Here's the cool thing. They're called WWE Championship Showdown, and they have side plates like you would see on a title belt. Like, if a wrestler is the champion, they get their side plates on. Well, this battle pack, or Championship Showdown, comes with a side plate of the two wrestlers that are in the line. In this is Alexa and Sasha, Balor and Reigns, and Jeff Hardy and Undertaker from their match on Monday Night Raw from 2003, I think that was, or 2004, Scott?
I think it was like 02, 03, somewhere in there. 2002, I think?
It was where Jeff was wearing the white tank top and had the blonde crop top going on, had the face paint going on.
Yeah, it was like his forehead was just painted, though.
Correct. It was the ladder match from Monday Night Raw. If I say that, everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. That will be in the Championship Showdown series.
Yeah, and the cool part about this, Jeff, you mentioned the side plates. You can actually put those side plates on a belt, or you can use that side plate as a stand for the figures. Great touch. Obviously, the set looks fine. It's basic figures. And again, we don't know if this is replacing battle packs, but obviously the one that everybody's going to want out of this set is the Hardy and Undertaker. Everybody, like you said, Jeff, remembers this match. It was the one where Taker was the heel, Hardy was the face. Taker was kind of laughing off Hardy's challenge. By the end of the match, Hardy had proven himself, gained the Undertaker's respect. That's what everybody remembers from this. But they captured Hardy perfectly, Undertaker perfectly. That's going to be the hard one to find out of these.
And to round out the news this week, FTC coming in strong with the Francine figure. The Francine figure is here. It was shown off. Available at FTC right now. You can now complete your triple threat. Shane Douglas, Chris Candido, Francine. You can even throw in Bigelow from any of his older figures.
There you go. That's perfect. Great get by FTC. I love that they went ECW heavy on their last few with Candido. Of course, they had Shane Douglas, now Francine. Like you said, grab a Bigelow. Boom, triple threat.
Scott, that rounds out the news. We do have some listener to get into, so what do you say we jump into it?
I'd love to talk to him.
And I just want to hear from my people. Tell me, can I hear from my people? I just want to hear from my people. And I just want to listen to the listeners.
Scott, I'm happy to report we have another question from Justin Summers. Let's get into it.
Hello, Scott and Jeff. This is once again Justin Summers from Wrestling Cheers coming at you with a listener's question. Last week, I had mentioned that I have over 300 wrestling shirts within my collection. That is not over exaggeration. In fact, recently, I had to take a lot of those t-shirts and kind of downgrade it in within my closet because I was running out of room. So most of those were put into storage, sadly. But I'm going to ask you guys a really simple question. What is your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers' t-shirts? Here are the rules. Like I said, wrestlers, so no companies, no podcast. I'm even going to say no third-party shirts. I'm talking about t-shirts that have either come straight from a major company or have come straight from the wrestler. I figure with Mount Rushmore, we're going to be talking about a lot of bigger companies, probably especially WWE or WCW, maybe ECW, but that's going to be where we're going to base a lot of this from. Also, one other rule with this, I want it to be a real Mount Rushmore list. A lot of people will give you a Mount Rushmore list, which is basically giving you a top four of whatever topic, whatever subject, but let's go a little bit deeper here. Give me your three greatest wrestling shirts of all time, and then the fourth one, much like Theodore Roosevelt, maybe isn't considered the greatest, but it's one that you hold close to your heart. So for me, top three, which really, when you think about it, it is very hard because there's so many iconic wrestling shirts from some of the biggest names. So for me, I went with the Hulk Hogan Hulkamania shirt. You got to start off with that yellow shirt, red font. It's just classic. It's very iconic. Also, when it comes to a classic iconic shirt, you gotta go with Austin 316. It was the beginning of a whole new generation within WWE and professional wrestling as a whole. Now, the third one, you could go a lot of really iconic shirts right here. I was thinking maybe even, you know, the Rock Brahma Bull. You could go classic black and white NWO, Roddy Piper's Hot Rod shirt. I'm gonna go with the original D-Generation X Suck It shirt. And for my fourth one, the one that so close to my heart, unfortunately I've never owned it because there are a lot of Attitude Era shirts that are hard to come by now, especially if you didn't own one back in the day. I'm gonna go with Kane Kiss My Ash shirt. It was a shirt that I saw on, I believe, like WWF Livewire, and it was in the catalog for a brief period of time, but I have never seen one in person, and they rarely, if ever, show up on eBay. That is my holy grail wrestling shirt, and some one that I would love to have within my collection. Before I go, I actually forgot something in my collection from last week. When I said, like, my holy grail, and the one that meant the most in my collection is that slimed Egon Funko Pop in the Ecto-1. Means a lot to me because of how much I just wanted it for so long, and I thought it was going to be the one that evaded me, but I got lucky. I forgot there's one other non-wrestling related thing I have in my collection, and that is an actual Turbo Man doll. Bought it at a toy show last year, and starting last Christmas, and I will continue it going on to this Christmas and every Christmas on, I take it and I put it under my tree. Because as Phil Hartman said,
it's nestled safely under our tree.
Anyways, once again, thank you for everything you guys do. Your guys are fantastic, and I can't wait to hear my answers off the air. Take care.
Scott, you're ready to go. You're fired up.
Yeah, the bang is bubbling in the veins right now. It's ready to go. He set off a charge. I'm ready to talk some t-shirts. And he actually hit a lot of iconic shirts in his answer. I love it. But he did give us a catch there that we can't use a company's shirt, because right off the bat, I thought of two. And the first one, everybody in the mid to late 90s had it in their wardrobe if they were a hardcore wrestling fan. ECFNW.
Yep.
The other one, I don't know if a lot of people had this one. I did. And it was when WWF became WWE. And it had the Scratch logo on the front of the shirt. And the back of the shirt said, get the F out. I don't know if a lot of... I had it in my wardrobe collection. I don't know if a lot of other people did. It was one that I could not wear to work. Because I actually used to have a job where 5 days out of a 5-day work week, I could wear a wrestling shirt. And 5 days out of a 5-day work week, I did wear a wrestling shirt to work. But that was one that I couldn't put in the rotation. If we're going to go Mount Rushmore, I'm going to echo at least one of his shirts. And it's got to be Hulkamania. You talk about icons. Like, when you make a Mount Rushmore of wrestling, Hulk Hogan's going to be on it. I would say 9 times out of 10, Hulk Hogan is going to be on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. Number two, totally agree with him, Austin 316. Those were the first two shirts that popped into my head when he specifically said wrestler shirts. Hogan and Austin. Again, Austin, one of those guys going to make it on 9 out of 10 Mount Rushmores of wrestling. So Austin 316, Hulkamania. Number three, I'm going the purple Macho Man sunglasses shirt. And of course, honorable mention goes to Greg the Hammer Valentine for his I Broke Wahoo's Leg shirt. You gotta love that. You've gotta love that. But if I'm gonna go a fourth, that would be not necessarily a Mount Rushmore shirt, but one that I held near and dear to my heart. I wore this shirt so much that I had to retire it because I washed it so many times, it started to fall apart a little bit. New Age Outlaws, 1998. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. That shirt got worn literally to its death. I wore it so much from 98 until about 2000. It was red and white lettering. The front of it said, oh, you didn't know. The back said, your ass better call somebody. That would be my fourth one. That is my Mount Rushmore of shirts.
Speaking as a wrestling fan, to me, the top four will always be Hulkamania.
Yes.
Austin 316, NWO. I'm going to go, man, do I do Hot Rod shirt or do I go Macho Man shirt?
Or maybe it's one that you had in your collection that you wore so many times, you wore it out. Like, you wouldn't necessarily put it on your Mount Rushmore, but it meant a lot to you. Like, maybe your Headbanger shirt.
I wore that Headbanger shirt a lot. I will say the Macho Man is on the Mount Rushmore. So those four shirts are on the Mount Rushmore. And I think I could speak for all wrestling fans that those are the four wrestling shirts.
You're talking the purple shirt with the sunglasses on the front?
Yep.
And you've got to have the white outline around the sunglasses. That's mandatory.
Yep, exactly.
You can't have it not with the white line. You've got to have the white border around the sunglasses. Absolute must. But I would echo what Justin said earlier about wrestling shirts basically overtaking his closets or his drawer space and him having to bin some up. I had to do the same thing about 3 months ago. I had a retro shirt collection, and I would usually, when I'd go to WrestleMania, I would usually take one or two with me just to wear, and people would be, oh, that's a cool shirt. It was just a throwback. I had a big stack of them inside the closet, had a couple inside my drawer too, and I had to bin them up. So they're in the garage now. They were just taking up way too much space. I wasn't wearing them as often. So much like Justin, I also had to bin some up and store them away.
Justin, thank you very much for sending that in. We always look forward to your questions. Thank you again, man. Scott, next question of the week comes in from Josh Thompson. Josh says, if Super 7 made a Kota Ibushi figure, what attire should he be in and what accessory should he come with? Kota Ibushi is a back-to-back winner of the G1, so put the trophy and the flag in there. Kota's very, he doesn't wear much to the ring. He's very, I hate to say it, but he's very plain. His wrestling style is not plain, but like his getup, he just comes to the ring. Sometimes he has a shirt on, sometimes he doesn't. So I guess you could throw in a shirt. You could put in a shirt with the figure.
Does he get a trophy for winning that thing he just won?
The G1, yep.
That thing, sorry. Yeah, the G1.
Yeah, you mean the toughest tournament in all of professional sports?
Well, look, it's not the King of the Ring. Settle down.
No, it's tougher than the King of the Ring.
Ah, nothing's tougher than the King of the Ring. Dude, Mabel won that thing. Don't get out of here with it. It's tougher than the King of the Ring. No, it's not.
I will fight you on this one, dude.
Talk bad about Sour Headbangs again. See what happens.
Ding, ding, Scott.
We'll have you thrown out of here.
So since he's a back-to-back winner of the G1, we got to throw in the trophy. We have to throw in the flag that they give. We got to put in a Kota Ibushi shirt. And that's about it. He had the IC title. I guess you could throw in the IC title with him.
Maybe that's why JT was asking the question, is because, as you said, he's kind of plain. So is Super 7 going to be hard-pressed to find accessories to go in? But clearly, from your point of view, there are a couple different things they could put in with him.
They can make it happen. You've got the license. Just make it happen. I know we won't get the figure till 2026, but make it happen, please.
And all jokes aside, the G1 is incredible. For Kota to win it multiple times, it shows what NJPW is investing into him and his character. So you've got to figure Kota, if he isn't going to be in Series 3, definitely would be in Series 4. And he's going to be a highly sought-after figure.
How did his song go, Scott?
I don't want to talk about that. It was embarrassing, and I actually blame you for not recording it, because it could have been a hit. I'm just saying.
I didn't know you were singing it until you were standing next to me and you're all, Kota Ibushi. We're standing in that CVS or Walgreens, whatever it was, and the hips were gyrating.
There were gyrations for sure, yes. But here's the thing. If TikTok was a thing in 2018, I most likely would have been on TikTok multiple times.
Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi. Yeah, I was singing to him in a Walgreens.
That was so funny. I was like, holy crap, it's Kota Ibushi. It's Kota Ibushi. And Scott, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 sheets to the wind.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Just standing next to me, he's all, Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, I was feeling Nola strong.
Scott, that rounds out the listener segment. We need to get into points of articulation. What do you say we jump into it?
I'd love to. Let's talk about it.
Scott, one thing I forgot to put in the news, Steve Ozer during his Instagram Live did say that they cannot do a Gobbledygooker figure because they don't have the rights to do Hector Guerrero, which you and I do not understand, man.
No, why? It doesn't matter who wears the costume, right? It's literally a costume action figure. It doesn't matter who's underneath. Like, they don't even, I don't know if they have the rights to make Maurice anymore, but Maurice wore it. Right? Say this is the Maurice version of Gobbledygooker, not Hector Guerrero. Put it on the package for all I care. Give us a Gobbledygooker figure. Gosh, this is so frustrating. I don't understand. I mean, look, I'm not on the legal side of Mattel. I don't know. But it's just weird to me. Did Hector take the Gobbledygooker idea with him when he left? Like, does he own the Gobbledygooker thing? But they used it on Raw when Maurice wore the costume. It's confusing to me. Who cares that you can't make Hector? Make Gobbledygooker.
I don't know, dude. Like you said, don't understand the legal side of it, so we'll just leave that to the experts.
Well, look, if I ever get a Gobbledygooker figure, which it's probably as good of a chance of getting that as the Sharks winning the Stanley Cup, I will put that figure on my Thanksgiving dinner table every single year.
Are you sad about Joe Thornton?
No, I'm not. The Sharks need to get younger, and again, this isn't a hockey podcast, but we'll talk a little hockey. Joe Thornton is getting up there in years. He needs to go for his best shot at the Stanley Cup because his years are dwindling down in the NHL, as are Marlowe's, and they re-signed Marlowe. I hope Joe has enough left in the tank. I think he's going to contribute to Toronto. And I mean, look, I'm not a Maple Leafs fan, but I'm a Joe Thornton fan, and I do want to see Joe get his cup. So if Toronto is out of it by the trade deadline, I hope they do him the favor and trade him to a contender with a strong shot to win, be it Vegas, Colorado. I don't care. Get Joe his cup. The man needs to win the Stanley Cup. So no, Jeff, to answer your question, I am not sad because Joe's going to have a better chance elsewhere of winning this year or next year.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Scott, it is time to jump into points of articulation. Now, what is points of articulation? Points of articulation is, I am going to throw four figures at Scott. Scott doesn't know which four figures are on my list right here.
Four?
Four.
Wow. You're really putting me through the ringer this week.
Hell yeah, cowboy. I haven't said that in ages.
You haven't, to coin a phrase.
So, the first name on my list, Hollywood Blondes, Jack's Classic 2-Pack.
Ooh, that's a good one. Both figures. Look, we were long overdue by the time we got that 2-pack. We were long overdue for Hollywood Blondes figures. Yes, you could say that they were a flash in the pan in WCW, that they came and went fairly quickly. But the impact that they left, look, we still talk about them today. We don't talk about Firebreaker Chip and Todd Champion all that much, do we? They were around longer than the Hollywood Blondes, but we still talk about the Blondes. Yes, two icons in wrestling, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman composed that tag team. But what they brought to the gimmick itself is what made them, in my mind, legendary. I think Jax did a great job on that 2-pack. I really don't have any complaints about it. So the outfits, fantastic. The sculpts, great. Body styles used, matched perfectly. Because I love the Blondes, because Jax did the fans a favor and gave them amazing Hollywood Blondes figures, I'm going to go 8.3.
The only thing missing from that 2-pack was the scene marker that Hollywood uses.
Agree. And you would think that they would have thrown that in, but whatever. The figures themselves are fantastic. If you want to knock points for the scene marker, do so. At least they didn't put a cookie sheet with them, as Jax was known to do. Fantastic. As a standalone action figure set or wrestling figure set, I got to go 8.3 on those.
Now, as a 2-pack, I'm giving it an 8.6.
Wow. Holy crap.
It was missing the scene marker. If that was included, that would have been a 9.3.
Wow.
It was awesome. Love the expression on Pillman. I thought that they got Austin's face perfect. Love the vests, the tights. Sorry, not the tights, the trunks, the boots. I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. Hit the nostalgia feels. 8.6.
Wow. Is that your highest score so far on this?
Yes, it is.
You are very stingy with your numbers, too. So to say that an accessory made up 0.7 of your score, that it would have had a scene marker, a 9.3, that's stating quite a lot because you're a way harsher judge than I am. And I actually came in lower on this one. So, wow. Okay. Strong out of the gate. I love it.
So that's for a 2-pack. So we'll put that in the 2-pack category. Now we're going to go back to single figures. Scott, your next figure is questioned if it is actually an action figure, but you will always defend him. Diesel, Just Toys Bend'em.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, it is an action figure, and we've talked about this a few times, that I actually used to take my Just Toys Bend'ems and blend them in with my Hasbros. Why? Because, well, we did not have a Diesel from Hasbro, but we did have a Just Toys Bend'em. They were mostly in scale, yeah, they look different, a little cartoony, but they kind of fit together. So I did intermingle my Just Toys Bendems and my Hasbros. That diesel, I mean, you can't really match it up to a Mattel nowadays, because Mattel's like all about realism and the look. But the Just Toys Bendems were kind of intentionally cartoony. And look, they were bendy figures. So there is some room for error there on the sculpting job. So I'm going to judge Just Toys Bendems Diesel based on what Just Toys was going for. And these things were clearly being marketed to kids. Yes, Hasbro's were too. Whereas now Mattel's are a little bit more geared toward the collector. Just Toys Bendems, way more geared towards selling to kids, given the price point, given the look, given the scale. So all of that said, Just Toys Bendems Diesel did a fine enough job for me to incorporate them into my Hasbro assortment. 7.4.
I actually enjoyed the Diesel Bendem. Thought it was really well done for the Bendem line. Now, I'm throwing all these into a huge pile, and I've got to score it just as a regular wrestling figure. I can't separate it. It's like when you judge pizza, you can't separate the pizzas.
Okay, so you don't slide your scale based on which line you're giving a score to. You just group it as a lump of wrestling figures. You don't group it as, okay, here's my Hasbro scale, because correct, Hasbro was going for a certain thing. Here's my LJN scale, because LJN was going for a certain thing. You don't go off of that. You're just like, boom, score for a wrestling figure.
Correct.
Okay.
I did like the Just Toys Bendems. I thought they were a good stopgap between Hasbro and Jax.
Agree.
Diesel, Just Toys Bendems, 6.8.
Okay. And you know what? I think that's fair. Given your criteria, I think that's very fair. And, you know, my score could actually be based on my sliding scale. You could actually argue that mine is a little bit low, but 7.4. I think it's fair.
Scott, the next figure is a beautiful figure, and I'm actually curious how high you're going to go for this figure.
Macho Man Slim Jim, 10 out of 10. Best figure of all time.
I give it a 7.0, a rookie score.
Get out of here. But leave. Beat it. Kick rocks.
Because it was the seventh best figure of, what was it? What year is this?
La, 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 la. Figure number three.
Figure number three? The Christian TNA figure.
Oh, okay. So, using my scale again, now I'm just going to focus on the Marvel / Toy Biz TNA line. The Christian figure is the best figure that they did. And going off of your scale, Jeff, it's an incredible wrestling figure.
Yep.
The sculpting, the soft goods jumpsuit that they put him in, the gold, the way he's packaged with his hand looking out at his peeps. Perfect all around in terms of figure, in terms of packaging, in terms of pose in the packaging. So if you're a mint on card collector, it's beautiful. Based on everything, based on your scale, based on my scale, based on him being the best of Marvel Toy Biz, based on him being an amazing wrestling figure, I'm going high on this one, Jeff, because this figure gets extreme. We've talked about this one numerous times. This one gets extremely high marks from me. 9.8.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's about as close as you can get to a perfect figure. Really. It only gets docked a few points. That's not bad, but it's about as close as you can get to a perfect wrestling figure, dude. That figure is the best of what Marvel Toy Biz did, and it's the best of a lot of wrestling figures in your big pile that you're rating. I've got to go 9.8, even inside the package, because I'm an MOC collector. Even leaving it inside the package, it's posed perfectly. The gold jumpsuit is amazing. The sculpt, amazing. 9.8.
I'm going nines. Now, I'm trying to figure out how high on the nine I'm going to go.
Because you can never go even. That's rookie.
Yeah, that's a rookie score.
That's a rookie score. You don't do this podcast for almost 5 years and go a solid number.
We can't copy the great Portnoy. We can't copy him. So we got to use a wrestling term. That's a green score. Because that's a green. Because somebody could be green.
Yes.
All right, Scott, I'm going to go 9.4.
And again, given your reputation as a very harsh critic, well-deserved, by the way, that's an extremely high score from you. Like, a figure in the nines is more than likely on your wall, and it's one that you look at every time you go into the room.
I agree with everything you said, from the way he's packaged to the gold jumpsuit to the NWA title being in there. There's nothing wrong with this figure. You cannot find anything wrong. Why isn't that figure in our Hall of Fame?
Well, Hall of Fame's coming up in a few months.
2021, dude.
Yeah, don't be surprised if that one's in there. It's definitely one of those when you rate the, like, even the top 10 to 20 figures of all time, it wouldn't surprise me, and I wouldn't argue if it was on someone's list. It very well could be on mine. It's that good.
And Scott, last figure of the week. You don't know about this one. Vader, old San Francisco toy makers. I thought I would throw in another Vader for you.
Okay. We actually briefly touched on that one last week when you brought up the Vader Classic Superstars. Oh, man. You gotta love old San Francisco toy makers. These were clearly done in the spirit of LJN. The rubber that they were made of was considerably harder than the LJN rubber. So, given the constrictions or restrictions, OSFTM did an incredible job on that Vader. As soon as you saw it, oh, okay, that's Vader. The mask, the body type was good, which is more than, I even mentioned that last week. The body type is good for Vader, even more so than what Jax Classic did years later on the grotesquely fat Vader. I thought the old San Francisco Toy Makers Vader, the body style was much more suited to Vader. Great job on the costume. Better yet, given the rigidity of this figure, as mentioned, it was a harder rubber than even the LJNs were. You got to have a good pose. Because again, these things are geared towards kids at the end of the day. They got to be able to play with them and do moves. He was essentially in like a body slam pose, both arms up. Very well done. Great choice on the pose. So all of those things considered, and again, now I'm grading off of all of the OSFTMs. I'm kind of keeping it in that family. That Vader is very good. 7.9.
Fair score. I think that's very fair for that figure.
And to the sculpting side, they did the best they could with it. I mean, how easy could it be to sculpt a rubber figure, right? So all things considered, the year, the family that it's in, the OSFTM family, 1995, 96, somewhere in there, going off of all those factors, I think 7.9 is a very fair score for that Vader.
Very good figure. I like the face on it. I like the snarl they gave him. I like that they went with the black mask instead of your traditional red mask for Vader.
Yes, good point.
I don't really care for that they gave him no neck. And Vader had these traps, and, you know, when he would flex, you know, he would, his neck would almost like disappear.
Yeah, and maybe that's kind of what they were going for, is the flex.
I kind of wish they wouldn't, you know, no neck Vader, you know. Yeah. I
don't... His brother's no neck Joe.
But I like the outfit, like the pose they gave him. 7.2.
Okay. Okay, and you know what? I think that's fair too. Especially, and you know what? That's actually high coming from you, given your grading criteria. I think that's very fair. Definitely in the sevens on Vader. They did a good job on him.
I like playing this points of articulation. I like seeing what scores you give these guys.
Yeah, and I love going back to the figures that we grew up with. It's kind of fun rating those, and then it's fun rating newer figures as well. Good list this week, dude. I liked it.
Thank you. I kind of try to keep it all over the board, so like you don't really know what's going to be coming.
Yeah, I like it. You were all over the place this week, and I dig it.
Scott, a lot of these figures can be found on Wrestling Toy Tracker. Wait, let me see. So Just Toys Bendem is on there. So Diesel is on there.
Yep.
Christian TNA, Hollywood Blonde. Okay, so Diesel Just Toys Bendem is on there. If you're in the hunt for a Diesel Just Toys Bendem, head on over to Wrestling Toy Tracker. Check them out to see what the loose and carded price of the Diesel Just Toys Bendem is. So again, WrestlingToyTracker.com or on Twitter at @toy_tracker. Scott Eagle Moss.
Guys, if you have a pop culture or a WWE fan in your life and you're looking for a gift for that certain someone, look no further than Eagle Moss. They have a bunch of great properties under their umbrella, from DC to Star Trek to Battlestar Galactica, and of course, from WWE. You can subscribe to their statue service where they just ship you the figures every month. In addition, you'll get the display ring to put those statues in, or you can purchase the ring separately to display all of their great statues in. If you're a mint on card guy like Jeff and I, They come in a full-color box with a full-color magazine on the backside, clear plastic window on the front to display the beautiful statue, or if you're a loose guy, buy the ring, display the statue in the ring, perfect display piece. Check out Eagle Moss on Twitter at HeroCollector_. Check out all the great properties under their umbrella.
And for our podcast buddies, I want you guys to check out Breaker and Bane. Over there, they are drinking Fruity Windex soap, also known as Radical Skedaddle. But during their nasty drinking bang escapades, they have a fun show of wrestling talk, toy talk, and they also have a guest in each week. This past week, they've had in RJ from Ringside Rant. So check out Breaker and Bane's Power Hour on iTunes, and also check out Breaker's Back to the Nintendo. And sticking with RJ over at Ringside Rant, also check out his show. Please check out his show. Fun show over there, Ringside Rant on iTunes. Check out Doing the Favor on their website, doingthefavor.com, or on iTunes over at doingthefavor.com. You can also buy and sell figures over there. Fun, fun tool for the collectors over on doingthefavor.com. But in the meantime, check out their show, Doing the Favor, on iTunes. Also, check out the Owen Anderson Show, where he talks about wrestling. Talks about old school wrestling from a young kid's point of view. So please check out the Owen Anderson Show. Our good friends Sheena, Seth, and Marco are putting out the Chick Foley Show over there, which is a fun, fun show. Love listening to it each and every week. Love Seth, love Sheena, love Marco. Check out the Chick Foley Show. You heard his sweet melodic voice earlier, Justin Summers, over at the Wrestling Cheers podcast. Our good buddy Rucker Scott messaged us, and he goes, "It's all your guys' fault," and he took a picture of a bang can.
Another one infected.
He says it's all our fault. So check out Boot to the Face with Rucker and Marty. I do a show with my tag team partner, Eric Arana, from Boss Fight Studio over at Lucha Libre Figures and Facts. Scott, you do a show where you're drunk.
I do. It's a lot of fun. It's called Drunk Wrestling History. You can give us a follow on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk. Just two drunk guys and one host that talk about old wrestling, a little bit of new wrestling. And we're here to educate the masses. That's really the goal. And maybe to entertain you a little bit too with some drunken antics. Our new show uploading, well, if you're listening on Sunday, it would have been this past Friday, is Halloween Havoc 1991, beloved for its Chamber of Horrors match, in which poor Abdullah the Butcher was electrocuted mid-ring. So the first pay-per-view that I can recall where a dude was electrocuted on purpose by another person. Crazy show, and we talk about it while drunk. Again, Drunk Wrestling History on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk, where we're not always accurate, but we are always drunk.
Also, we want you to check out Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling, and every single day, Ryan Buds does trivia with Buds. Scott, roll call.
Yes, guys, as we do every week, the great, the amazing Jason Wolf. Give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF, or better yet, head over to his website where you get in touch with the man himself, DoyleDraws.com. That's D-O-Y-L-E, Draws.com. He is not only doing artwork these days, he's doing custom figures. These things are a limited run. You'll want to stay tuned to his social media for pre-order updates. There's going to be some great names coming down the pike here from him. Stay tuned to his social media again, Twitter at JasonWLF, or on his website, Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E, Draws.com. If you need artwork or a custom figure, Jason is your guy. And last but not least, Jeff, haven't done it in a while. Got to throw it back to the listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. Thank you for taking this crazy ride with us. Thank you for giving us all your feedback. Thank you for making this a show that you want to hear. We appreciate your feedback, your questions, your emails, your reviews, your purchases of our shirts. If you want some beanies, let us know. We're kind of knocking those ideas around too. But from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for everything that you guys contribute to the show. Thank you for creating this great community called The Fig Life. Without you guys, there is no us, there is no show. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you guys. That rounds out roll call.
I could not say it better myself. Scott, what is going on with the Mexican pizza, by the way?
Well, Jeff, I'm glad you asked, I think. Let's bring up more harsh memories from Kiss figures to Mexican pizzas, all dying a slow, horrible death. What I'm hearing is that Taco Bells around the country are selling out of the Mexican pizza, specifically the shells of the Mexican pizza, because they didn't plan for the bombardment that they were going to get for people wanting to say goodbye to their beloved Mexican pizza. So they're just running out of product and like, screw you guys. We know you had another couple of weeks with your beloved Mexican pizza, but you know what? We're pulling the rug out from under you and no more Mexican pizza. They're like the soup guy on Seinfeld. No pizza for you. People are going to Taco Bell and being told no pizza for you. It happened to Travis Fowler. I'm afraid it's going to happen to you, Jeff. It's happening to a bunch of people around the country. Taco Bell gave us till the end of the month, but then they didn't. They gave us till mid-October with the Mexican pizza. Now, had we known that, maybe they would have sold out sooner because more of us would have been going more. So it looks like the Mexican pizza is going away. And no, Taco Bell, I will not ever forgive you for this, but I probably will still eat your delicious offerings.
What is going to be your new menu item?
I don't know, dude. I honestly don't know. Probably the box, whatever box they offer that's like $5 or $5.99 that comes with a monstrous Baja Blast. I'll probably just get that, like constantly try their new stuff coming out. Because as many people have mentioned, you've got to think this is a marketing ploy. So when they bring this thing back next year for a limited time, oh, it's going to sell like mad. It's going to be like the McRib, right? Everybody was pissed when they took it away, but McDonald's still brings it back once a year. So I have a feeling Mexican pizza is going to be the same thing.
I put out on Twitter, I put out a, what are the SKUs and UPCs for Mexican pizzas?
Well, yeah, just check your Taco Bell app, because I checked mine the other day and it was still there. But okay. I don't have a lot of hope for this weekend when I'm really craving a Mexican pizza and I want to go get one, that the app is still going to show it available. Or if you put it through on the app and you get there, they could just be like, yeah, sorry, no Mexican pizzas. We're going to refund you. And that's when you just have to jump through the drive-thru window. Take matters into your own hands.
Okay, please do not hurt the poor Taco Bell workers that are just trying to make a buck.
Oh, no, no, I'm not claiming violence here, dude. I'm saying jump through, make your own crazy item. You don't want to make me a Mexican pizza? Fine, I'll just go crazy and maybe I'll bring that back the Mexi Melt while I'm at it.
Travis Fowler did make his own Mexican pizza.
He did, and I'm very anxious to try that. So once I know that I can no longer get the Mexican pizza from Taco Bell, I will be using Travis's recipe. He said it was great. It turned out awesome. He's not a tomatoes guy, so he didn't put tomatoes on there. I would, but he said it turned out good, so I'm excited to try it.
Is he going to ship one to you?
You know, it's funny. When I told him I could still get it on the app here, he's like, what, cost plus shipping? Which is exactly how it should be.
Oh, we love you, Travis. Scott, for episode 249, anything else?
Happy birthday, Tim. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Fig license 2016. And happy toy hunting.
I want to thank everyone for listening to episode 249. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully Poseable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Tomb Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Poseable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.